everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 273. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today by the Shore Laddies of LA, Alex and Jesse.
The Shore Laddies?
Yeah, it'll make sense later in the episode, I promise.
Oh, he's trying a new little gimmick.
I like this. The implications are that we're either going to be connected with goblins, ghouls, gas, UFOs, yeah. Aliens, and or killers.
Yeah, that's basically every genre we cover here at the podcast. So
statistically, yeah, right. We're like some dumb fucking cowboy sociopathic murderer at this
The Shore Laddies of LA. Yeah, there's no one really to choose. It just, you know, imagine yourselves walking on sandy beaches along the ocean.
Are we like the Island Boys? Island Boys. Are yes, we like exactly Shore correct. Laddies?
Island Boy Shore Laddie. They're new cryptid and entered.
The Island Boys are a cryptid
like
for
a
sure.
Sick, yeah, they're like they a are. Sick, like oceanside only bar band that plays after hours at bars. And the smell of pina coladas wafts through the air and barf and fried pork and cigarettes, all the romantic smells of a night out on the beach.
All the romantic smells. I don't know what you deem romantic, but you need to get out of LA, it sounds like.
Oh, everywhere doesn't have nice, warm, romantic barf smell wafting at them as they stroll through the evening air?
No puddles of human piss in the corner sometimes. I know that's just a city thing, though. That's not like an LA thing.
That's just a luxury, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I feel like that's an ever... You're telling me there's just no puddles of piss in the corner?
Because it's your neck of puddles of piss.
I don't believe that.
I'm going to say, you know what? There's actually even some puddles of piss, I think, I don't believe that at all. In the boonies of Texas.
And let's be honest. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I could really go for a puddle of piss. And you're like, oh, shit. There's
one right there. Yeah, you get real excited. Then start slurping it up.
Yeah.
Also, I want to thank the artist over on Reddit for... drawing Terry's parents, Tom and Jerry.
First of all, so fucking beautiful. So like some red wall shit going on over there at Chilluminati Pod on Reddit. I'm going to get the name because I want to shout him out. Also, when you have a chance, go over there and look at the sick new channel art we got from Mel. It's pretty sick. It's on the it's on your podcast app too. I'm always talking about that art that's really dope on the Patreon. That's the art. It looks like that. It's sweet. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Anyway,
nice
Sam.
Job, nice job.
Sam, me, 514. Shout outs.
Sick art. I appreciate it very much.
It's a cute little mouse saying, what should we name them, Tom? And then it's a cat that is truly like sentimentally pleased and says, is thinking, saying, what about Terry? And then you zoom out and you realize the cat is pregnant with the mouse's baby. And they're in love with each other, and they're both together at the same time, saying Terry with the heart emoji after it.
It's great.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a work of art.
It's a golden, it's a wonderful subreddit and an even better Patreon for more piss drinking imagination stories and trans species animal pregnancy porn. Just dive deeper into the world of Chilluminati if you can.
We must be very clear here. There is nothing erotic about this. It is a loving image between two absolutely adorable critters.
I wouldn't say there's absolutely nothing erotic about it. It does imply something forbidden has occurred.
I don't like this. I don't like this. You're like that
it
guy.
Makes me,
no,
it,
no, you can't do this.
It makes me think about something Alex, I don't want to think about.
Alex, no, you can't do this.
It's
you
like when
sound
people
like
say
those
the
dudes.
N-word.
Yeah. No, you sound like those dudes who, when a couple announces they're having a child, you're like the guy who's like, so you had sex, huh?
Was it like good? Was it cool? Are you guys up for a third?
Was it
good?
Was it cool? Was the sex cool? Was it cool when you did it? Tell me about it.
How many times did it take to make that baby?
Like, what did that creepy. Smell like? What did that smell like out there? All right. I'm so sorry.
Is this like a cousin asking, like in this scenario?
Why are
like
you
a
making
friend?
It worse?
I don't want to know what this is.
I just had a picture in my mind that this person asking goes back, and we have like a pitch black room illuminated only by the monitor.
Why do you have a picture in mind of this person?
And he's writing fanfic about these people that he's like asking about. Like,
why is he doing that?
That's just the character that came into my head when you brought this character up. And listen, it was like,
I didn't bring up anyone. That was Alex Fassiani.
My mind automatically filled out a story. I don't know what to tell you. I can't help it.
I just said porn because I thought it was funny. I didn't mean to make it into a whole thing. There's no porn
subreddit. Oh, it's a thing.
There's just an implied.
It's really hard to
intimacy.
Take Jesse anger seriously when he's yelling at me in 10 frames a second.
I thought you were going to say because I'm barely ever angry, so me being angry is goofy.
I get you.
But like, I guess the frame rate could be an issue.
Anytime you get angry on the show, it's because of me anyway. So I'm used to it, honestly.
And I get very angry.
I make him angry in a way like when a movie's not good sometimes. You know what I mean?
No, that's true. Yeah. I am always disappointed with
that
Greenstone stories.
I was gonna say that's how I felt with the Greenstone. Seriously,
it's like, well, I guess I'll give Morbius another chance.
You can't change what's real. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. As I take a big sip of my giant Popeyes unsweetened tea. Patreon.com/Chiminati Pod for visuals.
Boys, you ready for today's episode?
Oh, you about to say
something else? No, go ahead, please.
All I was gonna say was that I can't wait to see what a shore laddie is. That's all.
Okay, yeah. So you guys kind of have your guesses as to what today's episode is, but it's what I call Chiluminati comfort food today. Oh. We're doing another cryptid episode.
I love
of a country
good
we haven't. I do too. And on this one, before I tell you where we're doing the country we're doing it from, the rating is going to be have a beer with, avoid, or eat. Would you eat them? And that'll make sense for about a third of
if
these
I
things.
If I turn out wanting to eat the shore laddies, I'm going to be disappointed with all three of us.
Would you eat them?
Yeah. Would you eat them or would you have a beer with them? That's going to be the two options, okay? Beer or eat. We're doing today cryptids of one of my favorite countries I've ever visited.
Or avoid?
Avoid is on the table, I think. Okay. I'd say so.
All right, great.
But this is the country of Iceland, gentlemen.
Oh.
Which, we've all been to Iceland, haven't we?
False.
No.
Incorrect.
Only I've been to Iceland?
Of all the places, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I got trapped there for 4 days. Fun story.
Whoa. Nobody gets trapped in Iceland.
Yeah,
it's so far out of the way to be trapped there.
It was back in like 2014, 15. I got flown out to a Paradox event out in Europe. And on the way back, anytime you go there on the way back, you stop in Iceland. That's just how it goes. But on the way back,
I don't know that's true.
Well, it's cheaper that way. I saw Iceland gets a lot of its like Iceland Air is like they have cheap flights to a lot of the places in Europe. But the catch is you have to make a landing and stop in Iceland first and then go out.
Okay, sure.
But on the way back, it was during a really nasty blizzard in Boston. So when we landed in Iceland, my flight, anybody who was going to Boston got canceled. And we were there for 4 days while we waited for the weather to clear. And while we were there, it was blizzarding there as well. We were in the town of Reykjavik. We were just stuck in the hotel.
The small suburb.
Yeah. The small one. And we were just stuck in the hotel during a whiteout blizzard, even in Iceland. I could barely get to the gas station like a block away. It was so hard
to
see.
When you say we, who are you referring to?
Me and like six or seven other people that were making their way back.
So you're telling me you're stuck in some sort of blizzard scenario in a hotel.
Yep.
You couldn't do anything.
Nope.
You're with random people.
Mostly.
Sounds like prime drinking and eating time to me.
That's all you could do. We actually got a tour. We got a free tour of CCP games. But on the way back, the blizzard hit so bad that most of the highway pulled over, except for our cab driver, who was fucking just going 50, 60 miles an hour.
Oh,
it was horrifying. Yeah. And when the blizzard stopped in Boston, it didn't stop in Iceland. So we took off in the blizzard, which was scary. Anyway. Iceland cryptids. Back to the episode stuff. I thought both of you had been to Iceland as well, but
I'd love to, but
I've been to Scandinavia several times, never made it to Iceland.
Iceland's like beautifully desolate.
Would love to find some way to accidentally.
What's the haunting ghost like out in Iceland? Anybody who listens out there, I'm curious.
That's an open question to the subreddit.
Icelandic people.
What's the ghost vibe in Iceland?
Yeah, what's the haunting vibe out in Iceland?
What's the best time to visit?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that.
Remember, there's times where there's no sunlight.
That's what I'm saying. What's the best time? Also, you have to imagine there's a thawing season, and there's a season where it starts to get cold. So, like, also, is summer too much? Like, when's the right time? Do you want to go in spring?
Yeah, what's the time? I actually don't know anything about it. I just want to eat food that challenges me and sit in warm water. Is that too much to ask?
And sit in warm
water. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think it's too much to ask. I like that they're attainable goals. I think you can make that happen.
Hell yeah.
All right, boys. Let's talk about some of the cryptids out in Iceland. And we'll start with a couple that are you probably would expect out there. First, the Huldufólk. The Huldufólk.
Huldufólk.
Which actually might make sense because it's translates to hidden people. They're the Huldufólk, meaning hidden people in Icelandic, are what?
Nothing. So they're the hidden folk, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Huldufólk.
Or in English.
Yeah. Okay, and not who the fuck?
And, yeah, but like who okay. the fuck? Because they're hidden. All right. Like, who the fuck are these
You put
people?
On some like accent thing there, and it just sounded like you're saying the hidden okay. the fuck.
How would you say this word, boys? How would you say that?
Huldufólk.
Thank you.
Huldufólk.
Yeah, Huldufólk.
You gotta say the I'd say the Huldufólk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. The hidden people
who
is
who the fuck?
Who elusive. The fuck is that? Who in the fuck is that?
These things are often considered akin to elves or fairies, and they're said to live in a parallel world that occasionally intersects with the human realm. And the Huldufólk are described as human-like in appearance, but are invisible to most people. Stories about them are kind of abundant in Iceland, ranging from tales of their assistance to people in times of need to accounts of their retribution on people when they are, quote-unquote, disrespected. These beings are believed to inhabit rocks, hills, mounds, and it's customary for Icelanders to avoid disturbing these natural features to prevent offending a Huldufólk. Construction projects have been altered or even halted to preserve areas thought to be their homes. Christmas and New Year's Eve are significant times when the Huldufólk are said to move to new locations, and special precautions are taken by locals during these periods, which is another one on this list that you've actually covered, Jesse, on a Cox and Crendor episode back in the day.
I'm aware.
Yeah. We'll be talking about them too as well. Their superpowers, their hidden abilities. One is obviously invisibility. It's their primary ability that just makes them invisible to humans. They can kind of choose when to reveal themselves and when not. They're known to have possess magical powers, including the ability to cast magic, heal, and influence humans' fortunes. Some legends suggest that they can even alter their appearance or take on the forms of animals, not just humans. And the Huldufólk can move between the world of our world and their world seamlessly and at will. They can kind of phase in and out when they choose to. So, you know, before we go into their origin, let's stop. Would you have a drink with these guys? Or would you eat these guys or avoid? They're overall pretty neutral.
Are these transplants from Norse mythology? They sound very similar to like Norse.
I mean,
Norse,
I think there's like a shared kind of commonality there.
Probably.
We're gonna talk a little bit about the origins or what the like theorized origin of these things are, but you are correct that yes, Norse mythology is one of the where they believe that these things come from.
I mean, if these are of that ilk,
yeah,
I would say avoid, because
they don't love humans.
Yeah, they're not big fans of humies.
Sure. As far as I know, I am admittedly just the
baby. Oh, no, you're correct. Not big. Just like it goes back to old school stuff of like fairies sound cute. No, they will torture you.
No, yeah.
Terribly.
Yeah. Yeah,
elves
yeah.
don't want to mess with you. If anything, they hate you for existing. Like, just good old, like, no, I'm all right. You
Please
know,
avoid them. Yeah.
You
fair.
Do your thing. I'll do mine. I will cross the material plane.
You ever seen that old cartoon that's on YouTube that's like, fucka, 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 fucka the humans? It's a great one.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's from Brad Neely. Give it a look.
For each one of these, I tried to find a story that like actually exists, but just to let you know, not every cryptid I had have here I could find like any story. But for these guys, actually in 2013, construction of a road in the Budahals area was delayed due to the concerns of disturbing a Huldufólk dwelling. Activists claimed that the large rocks in the area were homes to the hidden people, and after negotiations and rituals to appease them, construction proceeded without any further issues. And some locals believe that the 2010 eruption of the volcano out there was connected to disturbing the Huldufólk, and that was their retribution and paying back for building and shit. So, you know, it's still very much a belief out that way.
I do think it's funny that they were like, guys, we have to, okay, we have to do this. The boulders, we don't want to disturb them. So, like, make some ritual. Okay, yeah. Now we can disturb them.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like,
all right,
that.
All right. Rules is rules.
Historically, the belief that these guys stem from a blend of Norse mythology and very early Christian influences kind of meld together. The harsh Icelandic environment with its lava fields, glaciers, and volcanic landscapes.
Wait. What? Okay. Call me ignorant. Grew up Catholic, so maybe there's differences between the two religions.
One of the origin stories of these guys actually involves Christmas Eve from the biblical narrative, and according to the tale, or Eve rather, the woman Eve from biblical narrative. Oh, okay. And according to this tale, Eve was bathing her children when God called upon her, and embarrassed that some of her children were not yet washed, she hid them from God. When God asked if all her children were present, she lied, and as punishment for her deception, God declared that the hidden children remain hidden from mankind forever, becoming the Hilda folk.
So this to me sounds like some church guy was like, yeah, you know those Norse guys, the Hilda folk? They're actually from Christianity too, if you think about it.
It literally actually is the plot of Book of Mormon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's absolutely the plot of the movie. Yeah,
I was able to find two origins to their mythology as well, in terms of the Christianity one. The other account that I have here is that it ties them to fallen angels. And when Lucifer rebelled, those angels who remained neutral were cast out of heaven, but not sent to hell. And instead, they just fell to earth and became Hilda folk, living in the space between humanity and the divine.
That's kind of like all the stories where, like, the angels lusted after ladies, and they became super.
They
men
were big horny and angels. That kind of nonsense.
They were big horny angels. Yeah.
My thing is,
these neutral angels then went around banging ladies. Like, okay, all right.
I feel like if I look up a picture of these guys, though, that I'm not going to be thinking like, oh, those are fallen angels.
Well, so you might actually like, so just actually you can just use, there's a,
they look like gobby gob gob gobbos. They look like gobby lobbies.
Gobby
gobby gobbos.
I mean, a lot of the art I'm looking at right now is kind of like what you would imagine Lord of the Rings artwork to look like, drawn in the 1960s.
Yeah, that's like, a good way to put it.
They look like little farty flarties. They look like little dwarfy guys. They don't really have like a profane appearance to me. They look more fey.
No, they're more human looking.
They have the potential to be a great video game, because they're everything from giant, like, godly looking elf people to gnomes to little gobbos to all sorts of different dudes, dwarfy looking guys. You could definitely, I'm just saying, Iceland, find some money, I don't know how, make a game called Hilda Folk. You got yourself like a little Sims thing, or maybe like a city builder, and a little tiny gobbo, and then you can make the, like, just saying.
That. I'd play the shit out of that.
I know. Right, I would too.
You both write this avoid. You avoid the Hilda folk.
Avoid at all costs.
If they are truly the, like, some sort of evil, impish creatures, yeah. But if they're my theory, which is that they are Marvel's The Eternals.
No, you just want to because they're all hot. It's literally the hottest people who ever lived.
If it turns out it's Marvel's The Eternals, I want to hang out with them. If it's not Marvel's The Eternals, I'm going with Avoid.
They're closer to, they sound closer to Jeff the Mongoose than Marvel's
The
Eternals.
They sound closer to the second Hellboy movie, is what they sound like. Don't mess with that.
It's called Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Thank you very much.
My bad.
Next cryptid on the list of cryptids, boys. And this one is another one that you kind of expect. Number two is simply trolls, which you would expect probably from Norse lore and whatnot. Trolls, and as Icelandic folklore. Are large.
There's a few different kinds of trolls.
That's true. That's very true.
But Icelandic trolls are not like we hide under a bridge. They're like big.
Mountain trolls. Like, what about
what about like the reggae trolls and the EDM trolls and the punk rock trolls?
It's World of Warcraft trolls.
That's European.
No,
that's mainland Europe.
With the good hair. You know,
those are the Rasta trolls from World of Warcraft.
As I said, World of Warcraft.
Okay, never mind. I thought I saw him in a movie or something. I don't remember.
Are you talking about what the fuck's that movie? Oh,
Trolls.
No.
It's called Jupiter Trolls. Ascending? No, it's called Trolls.
I've never seen Trolls.
It's Trolls. Remember the dolls? Trolls,
sorry.
You guys remember the dolls? Yeah, the troll dolls?
No. Oh, I did
troll
not.
Troll dolls are more like, they should have been called gnomes.
They should have been called the Hilda folk dolls. Is what they should have been called. It should have been called Marvel's The Eternals.
Trolls in Icelandic folklore are large humanoid creatures, often dwelling in mountains, caves, or other secluded rocky areas. They are portrayed as uncivilized, slow-witted, your typical, which reminds me of another like Warcraft troll or like a ogre rather, and sometimes dangerous. Trolls are nocturnal beings. They venture out at night to avoid the sunlight, which can turn them to stone. And many Icelandic rock formations are attributed to trolls that were caught by the sunrise. Tales of trolls frequently involve interactions with humans where they might abduct people, especially children, as most folkloric creatures tend to, or just simply cause mischief. However, some stories even depict trolls as beings capable of kindness, assisting lost travelers, or even sharing old knowledge. They would come with the supernatural abilities you would expect. They've got super strength. They can turn into stone, or they turn into stone when the sun hits them, which is kind of like a supernatural weakness. They also
Tolkien
have some
just straight up
level
stole
of,
that. He just straight up yeah. stole that for The Hobbit.
Yeah, I guess he did. Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
Yeah, but also dwarves and elves and sorts of stuff.
They have some primitive form of magic, able to cast spells that can create illusions of them, or simple illusions, from my understanding. And of course, they live for centuries. They're a very long-lived creature. So before we move on to the theories and whatnot, would you drink? Would you eat? Or would you avoid?
They eat children. I'm avoiding. I you know avoid, I would
but you're
taste
not a
good.
Kid. You're safe.
Yeah, but look at me.
The potential
I've got
for
the
violence.
Supple flesh of a young child. This is
that's what you,
you
want to say.
You think they would pass this up?
I've
they
got
would
the supple
munch
flesh
on
of
me,
a
dude.
Young child.
That's me. That's me. I got I have the taut tush of a man of much younger years.
I'm just gonna have to take a notice of my giant Popeye's unsweetened iced tea.
They would see me and be like, "No, that is a snack. Come to me,
God. That's rough.
I'd be
nuts.
Like, "But I'm an adult, sir." And he'd be like, "I will God. Eat you up. I will." Yeah, no, pass. Hard pass on this one too.
Same for you, then, Alex. You're passing.
Again, like, okay. Sometimes these guys look jolly. Sometimes they look friendly when they're carved out of wood. When you see them around, I imagine these trolls. I've never sure. seen them in Iceland, but I've seen similar trolls in like other Nordic countries. I know the actual troll dolls that I was making fun of earlier are from like Denmark, I think, and are kind of based off mm-hmm. of these guys, and they're pretty friendly looking. But if they're anything like the ones from The Hobbit or any other video game or fantasy world that I've ever been familiar with, I gotta avoid a troll. That's dangerous.
Yeah, sure enough. I wasn't able to what, sorry Jesse,
they'll eat you.
Yeah, they will.
That should be a no-go to begin with. Here's the problem. We said that about wolves. And now we have man's best friend is a dog. So, like, maybe out there there's a troll but with one L. And he's, like, a really nice guy.
A troll.
You know?
A troll. So, yeah, a troll.
He's like the Aloy version of a troll.
Yeah, a troll.
A troll.
I wasn't able to find any crazy stories about them, but I was able to find that near the village of Vik Mjedral, and I apologize for butchering it, they're near the basalt sea stacks. They're said to be the basalt sea stacks over there are said to be trolls turned to stone. And according to legend, two trolls were dragging a three-masted ship towards land when they were caught by the first light of dawn and petrified by the sunlight remaining as rock formations. And then
I get it now.
Yeah. And then it's off the coast of the Snæfellsnes Peninsula stands a lone rock pillar known as Skisundrager, and legend says it's a troll woman who was caught by the sunrise while washing her clothes and turned to stone.
So what this legend does is explain the absolutely, first off, beautiful, but totally insane geography of Iceland.
Yes, it's beautifully desolate. It's like,
Like looks there's like these giant weird looking rock formations everywhere that if you squint from a different angle, kind of looks like a person. I get it. Makes sense.
Yep. So, you basically have the origin already explained right there.
Right,
probably move right off that. All right. Number three, we get a little weirder. The Leirfjöll worm. The Leirfjöll worm. And I ran that through the how to pronounce website, so I know it's correct.
Leirfjöll.
This is how it's spelled. So I just love the way these words look because it just is insanity.
The
Leirfjöll worm.
The Leirfjöll.
Yeah. There's G's and F's and J's in places I did not expect.
This feels illegal almost. This is a legendary creature said to inhabit the Leirfjöll Lake near the town of Ilisildur. Descriptions of the worm vary, but the most common depicted version of it is a gigantic serpent or almost dragon-like serpent creature with multiple humps along its back. Sightings date back to as early as the 14th century. It's making it just like a really long-standing cryptid in the area. And the creature is often associated with ominous events such as natural disasters, crop failures, and over centuries, numerous expeditions and investigations have been conducted to uncover the truth behind this thing. But much like Nessie, no conclusive evidence can be found that this thing actually exists. This is really Iceland's Nessie in a lot of ways. This thing is said to be.
I gotta get a pic of this fucking thing.
This thing is said to be up to 300 feet long. That it has a venomous or toxic emissions that it either spits venom or releases like a poison gas. It says it can, some of the stories say that this thing can shapeshift, changing its appearance, sometimes appearing as an island or a patch of fog in the lake. And it's also assumed that the worm has like caused direct disturbances within the lake itself, such as whirlpools or sudden waves that seem to have occurred. So just like, it really doesn't have like any motive. It is very much, that's why I say it's like the Nessie of Iceland. It very much is kind of a creature that seems to exist in the lake and has lived there fucking forever. A big giant weird worm.
I'm like, do we know anything? Like, I'm curious about origins? The worm's intentions. Does he just float there and swim? Is it just an animal that we're getting at? It's not like a malevolent force?
Does he have divine purpose?
So we don't really, like, it just seems like to be a creature in the lake, more along the lines of creature in the lake. We have basically, like, we know the origin of this thing. One of the legends of the origin of this thing is that a young girl received a gold ring, and upon seeking a way to increase its wealth, she was advised to place it under a lingworm, which is a type of worm. She did so, placing both the worm and the ring in a chest. And when she later opened the chest, the worm had grown enormously and the ring's gold had not increased. Frightened, she threw the chest into the lake where the worm would continue to grow until it reaches the size it is now and began terrorizing the area.
So it's less about the worm and more about a magic ring?
Yes,
because it makes anything grow.
That's such an unexpected part of this. Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah,
it's because, again, it's more like Nessie, where it's more about the actual historical origin of the thing is more influenced by sightings of the natural phenomena and coupling it with the seismic activity, which usually causes unusual ripples or disturbances within the lake, which causes optical illusions, which can cause light refracting off water. Because there was, much like Nessie, a photo, I think 2012 is what I read, was like when the photo was taken. So it's very much a Nessie kind of thing that's just been kind of passed down for centuries and centuries and centuries.
Interesting.
I think it's just
tight as hell.
I think it's just an explanation to the weird looking waves and stuff when maybe seismic activity that people can't necessarily immediately feel is happening underground and making it look like weird things in the lake.
Is Nessie even close to this?
So this, just for clarity's sake for the listener, this isn't a WYRM.
No,
this is like W-O, because it's a literal worm that this became.
Well, sometimes it is. Now, sometimes it is W-Y-R-M for this guy. Sometimes. Because sometimes when you
see
him...
The most common I've seen is W-O.
Yeah, no, for sure.
If the lore is it was just a straight-up worm, then no matter what it became, it, the damn thing's a worm.
Well,
here's what I'll say.
A lot of them look like reptilian, too.
Yeah, I... Look, I'm obviously not going to have a drink with this thing, but I'm not going to avoid it, which only leaves me one option. I want to eat this thing.
Yeah. When I was in Scandinavia, I was in Norway, and I did eat for dinner some minke whale, which was sustainably farmed and fine. Sustainably hunted or something. I was assured of this before I ate it. And that's a huge creature that, you know, could feed a lot of people, right? So, like, there's almost something benevolent about eating a giant serpent.
Worm.
Like, I would love to...
But also it establishes your dominance over it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you let it know who the apex predator really is.
I'd love to join the entire human race in devouring this,
Everyone gets a taste.
Yeah.
All of humanity, line up. You get a taste.
This next, I have them lumped in the same as the next cryptid but this is going to be the one where I thought that you want to eat them begins. This is the next one, the salmon mother and the halibut mother.
I mean, you don't even need to tell me anymore. Yes, yeah. I would munch on those.
Exactly. So the salmon mother is a figure that can be seen as almost the personification of the salmon population in Icelandic waters. Salmon have been vital to the Icelandic sustenance and economy, especially in rural communities where fishing is the primary livelihood there. The salmon mother embodies the spirit of salmon, overseeing their life cycles and ensuring their prosperity. And in some tales, fishermen speak of a majestic female figure seen near salmon-rich rivers, believed to be the guardian protecting the salmon from overfishing and environmental harm. She is respected, even sometimes feared, as offending her could lead to poor catches and accidents. She is, her abilities kind of are, she actually has some abilities. Guardian of salmon. She is said to have dominion over all salmon, guiding their migration and breeding patterns. She can appear as a large salmon, a woman, or a woman that has fishy like qualities, like a fish woman, allowing her to interact both with fish and humans.
I would love to know the definition of a fish woman.
It doesn't
mean she's got fishy like qualities. What does that mean exactly? And
I would go mermaid almost, but like a little bit more animalistic.
A mermaid. This is a woman with fish like qualities.
She's also a waterbender. She has control over water, river currents, and water levels. And she can bless or curse people depending on how they respect nature.
I just love how it shows the priorities. You know what I mean? Like, there's always lessons to be had in these cryptid episodes. Like, you always find out the fables that they tell each other. But I love that, like, one of the priorities for the Icelandic people is like, well, don't worry, she protects the salmon, which is a big part of our, you know, like, I just love that.
We need to look out for her. And then the halibut mother is very similar with a few key differences.
Well, she's so halibut.
Yeah, well, for one, she's a halibut, which is, you know,
totally
huge.
Different fish.
Which, if you didn't know, it's like a flatfish. That is another huge breeding species for Icelandic fisheries. The halibut mother is envisioned as a guardian spirit of the sea floor, where halibut dwell. Fishermen tell tales of encountering a mysterious woman or a giant halibut with unusual markings, believed to be the halibut mother watching over her domain. She is sometimes described as emerging from the depth during storms or when overfishing threatens the halibut population. Her appearances are considered omens, prompting fishermen to reflect on their practices. She never appears for good reasons. Her abilities are similar.
She's never like, protector good job, of, great job.
No, she's never really being like, great job. She's like, you're fucking things up. She doesn't have control over like waters as holy as the salmon mother does, but she can calm or agitate the sea. And she also has the ability, like Aquaman, to talk to fish. And she can sometimes act as an intermediary between humans and sea creatures,
Aquaman conveying messages or
warnings.
He can't talk.
Yeah, talking to fish.
It's not entirely.
Not the podcast for this. That's not the Aquaman podcast to defend cool. Aquaman.
He's cool. All
yeah,
right.
So is Blackagar Baltigan, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Yes! You got
good taste in humans. Capable of confusing fishermen. They also can do, the halibut mother can also do like illusions, can confuse them with
illusions
like.
Illusions is a huge power. Yeah, okay.
But like to make an area look like it's more stormy than it is to keep boats away. That kind of illusion, basically.
Okay, some wizard shit.
And her origins are similar. They just lie in the deep respect for the fishermen have for the creatures, the fish that they're taking from the sea. And it's just been around for a very, very long time.
I trust people who fish. I don't know why.
She's a little more like malevolent than the salmon mother.
A little bit more, malevolent.
Or she's
sure,
just more tired of people's shit. You know, like she's like, you come into my watery kingdom, you take my kids.
Yeah. I think she's more that fed up with humanity. She seems more fed up with them.
Are they a duo? Are they like two sides of the same coin? Is that how they're seen? Or is that just like, we're just grouping them together?
No, that's just how I'm just putting them together. They're separate beings. I'm just putting them together.
I loved the idea that maybe the salmon was like the noble fish and that the halibut was like the Shadow the Hedgehog of fish. I love the notion of that, but maybe that's not the case.
No, maybe not. So you would eat them still? You stick with that?
I think we're in good eating territory, honestly, with the fish goddesses or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Salmon and halibut.
I wouldn't eat the salmon, Mom, because she's about sustainability, and I feel like she would keep things running smoothly. Halibut Mom, though, munching on that.
Honestly, thinking about it again, thinking about it again, maybe I'll just chill with them and like be real, because I love fish. I love nature. I have no like designs on disrespecting the salmon population. Like maybe we can kick back, have a nice little salmon, sustainably sourced salmon. You know what I'm saying? Or some halibut.
Yes,
some
smoked halibut. That's all they seem to care about. Because they seem to be fine with you fishing the salmon and the halibut. It's when overfishing starts occurring that they start getting mad.
That's how you know that.
I want to do like some sort of
Icelandic people are
like
cool.
Debauched. Yeah. I want to do like something messed up. Like I want to eat the halibut mom while hanging with the salmon mom.
You want to like team up and eat her together? Like some serial killer
No,
shit?
I just want to like hang out, but eating like a nice halibut sandwich.
Does she know that you're
like
eating
nice,
her like
fried with lettuce, tomato, a nice like sauce on there, like hanging out, drinking with Salmon Mom. And Salmon Mom's like, "Have you seen Albert Mom lately?" And I'm like, "Nah."
You're like, "By the way, no, I'm eating your Wario right now."
I feel like that would be fun.
Isn't that fucked up? Eating your Wario.
It'd be fun for me at least. I would enjoy. Yeah,
you might die after that, but hey, it'd be worth it for the gag. All right, moving on, boys. To the four Landvættir. Landvættir are the four land spirits. The Landvættir are protective spirits of the land in Icelandic tradition. Each region is believed to have its own Landvættir safeguarding the area and its people. They are revered
like,
and respected.
Hold on.
Like the Legend of Zelda?
Yeah. I was literally about to be like, is this Zelda?
Yeah, kinda.
They are revered and respected, and it is customary to avoid actions that might offend them, such as what else? Disrespecting natural landmarks in nature.
Putting and oil in the water.
And each of the four cardinal directions have their own guardian. So the guardian of the east is Dreki, the dragon. Guardian of the north is Gamur, the griffin. Guardian
gamer.
Of the west is Gring Gamer. Yeah, yeah.
Gamer the griffin.
Dreamer the Griffin.
Huge Iceland. Talk to you tourism.
Then there's Gridungr, which is the bull. They guard the west. And then Bergisi, which is the giant, and they guard the south.
This is fascinatingly similar to like many other early sort of like China's filled with guardians of north, south, east. Like there's a lot of places around the world that do this. And I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite, like, mythological tropes.
Yeah, it's really cool. These guys, what their job and kind of powers are is to protect each of their respective regions from harm, which is including invasions and natural disasters. They have control over the fertility of the land, weather patterns, and the well-being of their inhabitants. And they can also shapeshift, like looking like a human or the animal that they are, you know, their spirit animal and like physical.
Could they
form.
Turn into like,
and of course,
George Clooney? Could they like, can they shapeshift into anything?
For what
or
purpose?
Is it just, I'm just saying,
I guess
is it
any human form, but I think they have a preferred one, which I couldn't tell you off the my memory what that was. But you could find them.
Like whoever they cast as themselves.
Yeah. I just, you know, why don't you make up what you think they look like in your head? I think the gamer, the griffin is like, it looked like Peter Griffin in my head now.
In my head, it's a griffin.
That's a cartoon. First of all, that's a cartoon. So that's already
true.
Crazy. gamer the griffin for me is like, you know, like a Seth Rogen, like a classic Seth Rogen type, but he's a griffin, you know,
he's got
like griffin, like, well, you know, like Wolverine's hair kind of looks like his mask. You know what I'm saying? Like this guy kind of has like an essence of griffin.
I see what you're saying.
With his body hair and his vibe, but it's like
it's not a lot of type. Like art depicting these, this is like a little bit, but not many.
Well, I mean, I imagine because it's a griffin, there's probably plenty of art of griffins.
Oh yeah, before we go on, that's kind of their job. They protect, they hang out, they like whatnot. These guys to me automatically kind of come out as like, let's have a drink with these guys. They also, by the way, can communicate you through dreams, visions, like your typical kind of sage interpretation.
Did you say sage because of fucking Zelda, you bastard?
I'm just saying what comes to my mind. I'm riffing. All right. Here. Shooting from the hip. Would you have a drink with these guys?
I feel like yes. Yeah. I feel like yes. These guys seem chill. I'm imagining, you know, those guys that hang out with Thor in Marvel's Thor. Hate to go back to Marvel.
Yeah,
hate to go back to Jack Kirby.
That's kind of how I had him in my head too, actually. Yeah.
His Warriors 3.
His Warriors 3, but then there's 4 because it's Thor's 4.
But also Sif.
Yeah.
These guys originate, like speaking of, like they originate from Norse pagan beliefs where the spirits inhabited the natural elements kind of made whole. According to the saga of King Harald Bluetooth, a sorcerer sent to scout Iceland. Yeah, the Bluetooth guy. A sorcerer sent to scout Iceland encountered these formidable guardians, deterring the king's plan to invade. Their presence underscores the kind of the sacredness of the land and the belief that nature is kind of a protective force.
You know what sucks?
He was like, this isn't worth our time.
Harald Bluetooth is probably just a dude who had like one jank messed up tooth. And for the rest of history, that's all he's known about. Like, that's it. Just
King old Bluetooth. Bluetooth Denmark.
It's like a curse.
In Denmark. Yeah. I love it. So that's the origins of them, obviously, like, it sounds very Norse, and it is. Now, this is the cryptid, Jesse, you've covered before. We may have even brought it up on a Christmas episode. The Yule Lads.
Love these boys. And the Yule Cat. Fan of all of them.
The Yule Cat sounds like a 1940s Hollywood cat character, like Felix the Cat. What are you talking about?
Dude, basically the thing. Yule Lads rule. Yule Cat rules. All the Yule people love them.
All the Yules
love them.
Rules.
You don't know about Yule Cat and Cool Cat?
No, shit. I feel like I should know them now.
I know about DJ or MC Scat Cat. I know about him.
The Yule Lads, these guys are a group of 13 mischievous brothers who visit Icelandic homes during the 13 nights before Christmas. And each lad arrives on a specific night and engages in behavior reflective of their unique names and personalities.
I must stress, every one of these sounds like if we were, you know the movie Inside Out?
Oh, yeah.
Chat.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just said chat. Listeners.
chat.
The internet got me. Listeners at home, if you just close your eyes a minute, imagine Mr. Alex Fossiani.
Oh, I don't have to.
Go into his head. Do the like. Now you're in Alex's head and around the control panel where all the Inside Out characters would be. Instead, it's just the Yule Lads. Every single Yule Lad is another facet of Alex's existence. When you listen to these, you'll be like, stop. No, that's just Fossiani.
I'm the one who makes the soup. I'm the one who wears weird clothes. I'm the one who does his shave. I'm the one who drank too much for much of his 20s.
Pretty much the same. Yes.
All fighting for control of fucking Alex's every day.
Each night a new one comes out. And takes
Why am
control?
I picturing them doing the like intro little dance from Zoom? Like,
I'm crazy.
Come on, yeah. And Zoom, come on. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about the Yule Cat, but fuck it, since we're here.
No, we got to talk about the Yule. You have to go through the Yule Lad so Alex can see how each of them is just another extreme version of himself.
But first, let's start with the Yule Cat, because I wasn't going to cover him, but I've got him right here.
Oh, I love the Yule Cat.
Wait, Yule Cat and Cool Cat?
Just the Yule Cat, no Cool Cat.
I'm sorry.
Yule Cat, which is Yola Koturin, something like that.
That sounds reasonable.
It sounded like a Klingon trying to speak Spanish.
Kapla, dude.
Kapla, bro.
Kapla, bro.
Oh, my God. It's a huge cat that is said to lurk in the snowy countryside during Christmas season and eat people who do not receive new clothing before Christmas Eve.
No, fuck that. This kid's getting the story, eaten, bro. He's getting justice for the Icelandic people.
In other versions of the story, the cat just eats the food of people without new clothes. This cat is closely associated with other figures from this time but considered to be the pet of Ogress Grilla and her sons, which are the Yule Lads. I think we've talked about Grilla at least before.
We have, 100%. Yeah. What's interesting here about the Yule Cat is that it basically is the tale of, hey, it's winter, get new clothes. More importantly, if it's Christmas, give clothes to other people. And if you don't, you won't be punished. Your kids will die.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to spin that.
Yeah. Here are the 13 Yule Lads boys. Sheepcoat Claude, he arrives on December 12th and he leaves on Christmas, and he harasses sheep, but is impaired by his stiff peg legs. So it's a hard time. He's got little peg legs hopping around. He just harasses sheep.
6:30 in the morning to like 7:15 in the morning. This is how I walk around the house. Just like this.
Yeah, as I said, imagine that guy's operating the controls upstairs now. He's got peg legs. He's not just trying. Hobbling.
And if he's not trying to harass the sheep, he's trying to suckle from the ewes on the farmer's sheep.
That's just a misunderstanding, because the best milk is the freshest milk. That's all.
Then there's Gully Gawk. He arrives December 13th and leaves on December 26th. And he hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity to sneak into cow sheds and steal milk. They just really love fucking milk.
Here's the thing. I wish I could drink fresh milk. I'm like so lactose intolerant that it would like destroy me. I bet the only milk I can have is like the freshest milk, but I don't even know what's worse for me. I don't drink milk so much that I have like a lapse in milk knowledge. Yeah. I've got a milk.
I don't either, really.
I've got a milk gap.
And I've moved to oat milk for my coffee at this point. Like, I don't even like use real milk anymore.
I don't even put milk in my fucking coffee. I live and breathe the life of Columbo, who I'm imagining is one of the Yule lads at this point.
So he might be. So the first two, maybe not your kind of people. They're too milk oriented.
No, they are right inside Alex.
But in spirit, like I have, like if we do the Japanese JRPG route and interpret the milk as some kind of liquor, now we're in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think we can make it work.
Or apple juice.
Next up on the list, number three is just Stubby. And I just love it. It's just Stubby. A simple name.
Stubby, obviously,
you can see a pattern here, as they all arrive and leave a day later than the previous. He arrives on December 14th, leaves December 27th. Stubby is abnormally short, and he steals pans for the food baked to the bottoms of and the brims. Like, he just steals.
He loves to eat the burnt shit out of the pans. Utensils. Okay, this is
he eats the crust so left specific. Within them. Mm-hmm.
That's so specific.
Yeah, he's a crust eater.
You think I'm lying when I said these are guys inside your head? They're all
you.
I
go in the kitchen after we like pick clean a fucking like roast or something, and I eat the like burnt little piece of gristle on the side. I go for all that little slut for that shit. Stubby, Stubby. Hold on,
Stubby,
Stubby. Just the English word Stubby.
Yep.
Well,
in their language, it's stufer.
Stufer is worse. Let's move on.
I'm giving you the English translations.
I'd rather be a stubby than a stufer.
Next one is me. And I think it's all three of us here at 3 a.m. when we're way stoned. Spoon liquor here arrives on December 15th, leaves December 28th. He steals wooden
spoons. A man licks spoons.
He's extremely thin from malnutrition, and he steals wooden spoons that are being used for cooking, licking them and eating all the residue and like stuff on the spoons.
As the guy who mostly cooks in my house, that's the most disgusting. I want to hit him with a fucking wooden spoon right in the fucking middle of his forehead. That's the grossest shit. And he's emaciated. Go get some fucking lunch, bro.
He's extremely thin from malnutrition.
Probably you need to find another way of getting nutrition, my guy.
I guess we haven't found any of these guys you're willing to hang out with yet, except for maybe Stubby.
I would hang out with every single one of them. I don't want to work with them.
In fact, I do frequently when Alex comes over.
The whole time you're hanging out with them, freaking Stubby is going to be asking to like go pick the crust off your sandwich or whatever, and Spoon Licker is going to be looking at your spoons.
Which one is the Yule lad who shows up with $85 worth of food and a knife and cooks a meal for everyone?
The one that's feeding everybody. All right, next up, Pot Scraper.
How is this not the last guy? First of all,
this is really, if in another world, Bean Boy is arch nemesis, because it means something different.
Pot
Scraper arrives, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what he means here. He arrives December 16th, leaves December 29th, and he steals pots and scrapes out the leftovers. Pretty straightforward.
Okay, this guy and the last really guy, control C. That's fucked up. They're the same fucking guy.
All right.
Thing. There's one guy who eats the burnt bits, one guy who licks the spoons clean that have been used, and one guy that eats the leftovers.
Pans, spoons, and pots. Three different guys. How many Yule ads are there? 41?
13, goddamn it.
All right.
This one covers all your last bases. The next one is simply known as bowl liquor. Bowl liquor.
He licks the bowls.
So this is real specific.
December 17th, he arrives, leaves on December 30th. And the weird thing about him, though, is he hides under the bed and awaits for you to put wooden food bowls on the floor, where he'll then steal them and
if I'm ever
clean.
In Iceland for Christmas, I'm doing takeaway. This is the nastiest shit I've ever had.
Then we've got...
Oh, there's a magic. It's not me. It's not me licking the gravy. It's bone liquor. And no, it wasn't even me. That was another guy named Pan Liquor.
I must stress to you, all of these are very clearly created by a dad. Like a dad who on Christmas Eve went down to the kitchen, like licked some bowls, some spoons. Wait till we get to my boy Sausage Swiper. It's all
hang on,
like...
We're getting there. We're not there yet. We're getting close, but we're not there. We got two more before him, so hold your horses.
Where's
next
Skunk Smeller?
Who arrives on December... We got a December 18th, and they leave December 31st. None other than Door Slammer, who, what else, loves slamming doors in the middle of the night just to wake people up.
Just an asshole.
He just regularly slams doors.
Merry Christmas, you fuckers.
This guy, this guy's mean when I used to do improv when I was like 21 years old, and I was just the most insufferable human being in the world.
And then you've got Skier Gobbler, which literally is basically yogurt.
He loves yogurt.
Yeah. It's a regional style of yogurt out there. Yeah, and he just fucking eats. He has an insatiable appetite for it, and he just will eat it.
As somebody who is lactose intolerant, that is a type of milk product I'm very familiar with and is good.
This is Jesse's favorite up. Next one, Sausage Swiper.
Done.
Sausage Swiper arrives on December 20th and leaves January 2nd.
Say no more.
Again, like the bowl licker, he's weird in that he's hiding in the rafters. He just kind of hangs out in the rafters and waits.
Look, people would hang their sausages from the ceiling. And he would. Yeah,
and then when the sausages are being smoked, when they're hung, he dangles down and snags them. Just like
Mission Impossible, he dangles down and grabs those sausages. I love him. Just
eats them. You know, I get it, dude. I get it.
Patreon.com/ChillumattiPod for the good visuals.
Yeah, that's a good visual. I only saw your hands as your head was out of camera for me because I have the narrow view going right now.
But you'll get it at home. That was beautiful 1080p.
Yeah. Then the next one could easily be a little like over the line, a little creepy. They arrive on December 21st and leave January 3rd. This is Window Peeper or Gulagagir. He's a snoop who likes to peep through the windows to see things he can steal.
Okay, well, that's okay.
How else are the rest of them going to figure out what bowls are where and what sauces? You got to have a lookout, man.
As close to an honest reason to peep in someone's window as possible.
But the issue is, like, the lookout man arrives, like, at the end, after most of the crew has already
come. No, he's looking
come.
Out, and then he looks in to see what's going on. Inside. Like, are they doing it? But he's spending all the time looking out for them.
All right, sure. I like that political spin you put on him.
He doesn't seem as annoying as the other ones. I'll say that. Does he steal, or is that fucking stuff stealer? The next guy.
Just as he looks for things to steal, so I imagine he steals them. We got three more to go. There's next up on December 22nd, then leaves on January 4th, Doorway Sniffer, who has an enormous schnoz.
This guy doesn't
even
make sense.
And an acute sense of smell.
Yeah.
And he smells doorways as he surfs, as he searches, looking for the smell of leaf bread to take for himself. Essentially.
So, okay, so let me interpret this then. Let me tell me if this is correct. There's some sort of Christmassy food that people love called leaf bread, and it gets the whole house excited when it comes in the house, and so those little dickhead kids that get all hype and like go stand by the door of the kitchen to get the cookies or whatever. It's the same kind of vibe. That's the door sniffer.
Leaf bread is exclusively for Christmas. Yep, it's a Christmas thing. It's Lembas very thin. Originated in Northern Iceland and now eaten throughout the country. It consists of around very thin flat cakes with a diameter of somewhere between 6 to 8 inches, decorated like decorated with leaf-like geometric patterns and fried briefly in hot tallow or oil, like fried bread. And it's like snowflakes. A lot of them look like snowflakes, basically. Looks really good.
Okay, yeah, really I'd fuck with this.
I never had it, but I would
this
have
looks
it.
Like,
yeah,
almost like a Papa Dom,
for sure.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's like, it looks crispy. Yeah.
It dead ass looks like a Papa Dom.
Delicious. All right, next Yule Lad, and last of the two more to go. December 23rd, leaving just 5th of January, is none other than Meat Hook, who uses his hook to steal meat.
To steal the meat.
He steals the meat.
Meat Hook doesn't fuck around. Meat Hook is close to my heart. Meat Hook's somebody I am a lot. Meat Hook
these
gets
are
it.
All in you. You are made of the Yule Lads.
You are the Yule Lads.
Meat Hook's why they're called the Lads, because he's a proper lad.
And then the final one who shows up on Christmas Eve and then leaves on January 6th is Candle Beggar. He follows children to steal their precious candles that are made of tallow and thus edible. He likes to eat their candles.
What the fuck are we talking about here?
Tallow is like a fat, like a, you know, and he likes to eat.
So, okay, but I know what tallow is, but what I'm saying is, like, are there like some fucking depraved Icelandic children out there who are like eating their fucking candles on Christmas because they smell like fucking McDonald's French fries?
I mean, possibly.
I guess it's a
way. Is that what we're fucking talking about right now? Like, why is that guy one of the ULEDs? Yes. What is that behavior? We know what fucking door sniffer does. We know why he's around. But the candle eater guy?
He likes to eat the candles. I don't know. I genuinely don't really know, like, why they have the candle thing going.
He leaves on January 6th?
Yeah, he arrives on Christmas Eve and then he leaves on January 6th.
Suspicious. Just saying, suspicious.
Suspicious? That's your takeaway is suspicious?
He's got stuff to do that day.
I already got burned by fucking Jimmy Pesto, so don't do this to me again.
All right, let's move on from the Yule Lads. Oh, so obviously, sorry, drink, avoid, or eat the Yule Lads?
Oh, drink I'm with, hanging spend the whole night with hanging the Yule out with.
Lads. They are my guys. It'll be like Moulin Rouge in that kitchen.
Good God, I don't even want to know. Moving on, this next one is away from the fanciful and more toward the deadly. The Scoffin. The Scoffin is a rare and deadly creature, the offspring of a male cat and a female fox. It is said to be relentless and dangerous with a gaze that kills instantaneously. The Scoffin is often associated with the desolate areas of Iceland and is considered to be, like many of the things, an ill omen.
What are the parents again?
A male cat and a female fox.
What if it's a male cat and a female mouse? What do you call that?
Terry.
A Chilluminati.
Yeah. No, because that's Terry is female cat, male mouse. Female mouse, male cat.
A berry.
Jerry?
I like it.
Okay, so wait, but Tom and Jerry are both guys, right?
Are they?
Are they?
All right. You're right.
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
good
all question. Right. Fair okay. enough. That's the real mystery of today's episode.
A Scoffin is a lot like a basilisk, too, because the legend of it is like the only way you can defeat it is by showing it its own reflection, which causes it to kill itself via its own illusory gaze. Because remember, if it sees you, it sees itself
and it's like, no.
It's not immune to, unlike creatures that are immune to its own poison, this thing is not immune to its lethal gaze. Because remember, it looks you in the eyes, you die. So that's like its biggest power. Any other conventional...
That's my old roommate's fear with dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, any other conventional means, guns, knives, that none of it works. That's the only fucking way to kill it. I'm just trying to move on. I just tried to keep going.
I just used to have a roommate who said he was afraid the dogs would take over his mind if he looked at him too long.
The worst part is knowing that person and knowing exactly like, oh yeah, no, that's real.
It's a real fear.
Oh man.
Like I can hear it in the voice too, which is even funnier.
If you're like that kind of person, listen, we love you.
We hope right, you're doing good
you
up there.
Keep listening to our show. We hope you're doing well.
Way up there
keep
at the top of that thing. Yeah, we love you.
Other than that, like that's it. It just has a deadly gaze and is basically unkillable unless you make it look at itself. The Scoffin is one that I imagine is avoid.
Just like it's sad, but yeah, like there's nothing can be done. Like let's just be
yeah. There's very little stories about it. I got one story where it's basically a hunter that accidentally bumped into him and he was witty and quick enough to whip out his own mirror and killed it that way because he remembered. Like, that's the only story I could find on this thing. So, it seems like most people avoid it anyway. But yeah, it's one of those that are just like rarely seen and will just kill you if you see it for some reason or another. Next up on the list, boys, as we get close to the end of this list, is the Skeljaskimisili. Also known as the Shell Monster.
That's a little easier.
Yeah, the Shell Monster is a legendary creature said to inhabit the coastal regions and fjords of Iceland. It's described as a colossal sea monster encrusted with shells, barnacles, and seaweed, and it's often mistaken for a rocky outcrop when it remains motionless. Fishermen and sailors tell tales of encountering this thing during really foggy conditions and during storms where it's low visibility. And the creature is believed to lure ships toward rocky shores by mimicking the appearance of safe harbors or calm waters, leading to shipwrecks. It embodies the perils of sea and obviously is like a metaphor as a warning. It's interesting to me because this one seems to do two things. It's that typical story of like, don't trust your eyes in the storm to you might going into rocky ground, even if you don't realize it. But also, it also sort of describes like the danger of like large rocky outcroppings in that area by, you know, being described as a sea monster is encrusted with all of those things and remains motionless, which could be a danger. Cause as somebody who lived, you know, near beaches almost his entire life, slipping in like on those things on the rocky outcroppings, barnacles and shit, you gash your leg up so bad, you can hurt yourself so badly and so quickly out there that it just seems to serve a dual purpose, which is kind of cool. Because other than it being large and having the abilities of like luring ships, that's it. That's all it is. It's
FromSoft.
Just a giant.
This is what this is. This is just FromSoft encapsulated.
It is a FromSoft giant octopus from Elden Ring.
Yeah, yeah.
But like ten times the size of that thing.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Actually,
a big gnarly boy. A big profane Cthulhu beast sea bastard.
The origins of this thing, basically legends talk about it being an ancient creature that was from the primordial sea during the creation of the world. Like that kind of like origin has just been around forever, which is kind of neat. I would eat this thing though, personally.
That's just, you know, same
what's
thing
inside
with everything.
The show?
Display of dominance over its...
Well, it's like, it sounds like it could be like calamari.
What's in there? What are we saying? What kind of morphology?
Yeah, we don't know what's under that shell. You're trying to crack it open.
But the only way to find out is to crack it open.
Best guess, true. Mollusk? Best guess, mollusk?
Yeah, like somewhere in like that area. Okay. Yeah, maybe like a mollusk
all right. You
or
know what?
Something.
If we could cook this, you know what? Yeah, okay, yes. You know what? All right, fine. Yeah, you know what?
Fine.
You know what? Okay,
eat it.
I'll eat the fucking thing. What is it called? The shell monster? Yeah, I'll eat him.
Yeah, it's a shell monster. Yeah, I love it.
You know what? Actually, this helped me discover by doing this today, that there's in fact the Icelandic Sea Monster Museum, and it's in Iceland, and I really want to go.
I want to go. That I didn't
I
know
really
that.
Wanna I really want to go.
How did I not stumble across that when I was doing my research? That's crazy.
All right, if you work That's at awesome. The Icelandic Sea Monster Museum, let's see how much budget. Let's see how powerful the Scandinavian economy is. Can you get three podcasters from America, a place that used to exist in the past, if you're listening to this in the future, and get us out to Iceland so before we go, we can watch we can check out the Icelandic Sea Monster Museum.
I love that. Get us out there. Iceland, I would love to see you not during a blizzard. That would be awesome.
Hey, I would love to see Iceland at all. If it's a blizzard, if that's the only way you can get me in there, I'll take it.
Now, boys, this is harkening back to the beginning of the episode. The next cryptid is the Shore Laddie.
There he is.
In Icelandic folklore, its name in Iceland, it's Icelandic, is Strandar Strakur, which is literally translated to beach boy or shore boy.
Okay. Okay.
He's
hold on.
He's depicted as a youth.
Can I guess? Can I guess?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the 14th Yule lad who went like on vacation, and he's like when Santa does the Hawaiian shirt and the sunglasses kind of vibes.
Uh-huh.
And he just chills by the ocean and he picks fucking, I don't know, seagull.
He's the Yule lad that escaped the generational family trauma
he
of Greela
Christmas,
and moved on.
Yeah, and then he started writing beautiful harmonies with his brothers in Hawthorne, California.
Not too far, necessarily all that far off, though. I think you're giving him a kinder spin than he deserves.
Oh, no.
Because he's still got that Yule lad genes in him, all right? That can't get quite out. He's not actually a Yule lad that walked away.
Fair.
This guy, the Shore Laddie is usually depicted as a youthful spirit that can sometimes look elf-like, who inhabits the shoreline, especially in the more remote and uninhabited areas, as is most of these creatures. And this Shore Laddie is often associated with playful mischief and is known to interact with humans in both helpful and, what else, troublesome ways. Children playing near the shore might catch glimpses of him, and he's said to leave a small treasure or trinkets for those who treat the beach with respect. Like a lot of others, they say. Yeah, exactly.
I like
this
guy.
He doesn't have anything crazy power-wise. He can kind of become invisible or partially visible. He has influence over the tides, but it doesn't look like he has like full control over like the waters like the Calabit Mother or the Salmon Mother tends to. And there are some...
Who is as powerful as the Salmon or the Halibut?
That's true.
Come on.
That's true. And in some stories, he actually possesses the ability to heal minor injuries or ailments, especially those that are caused by the sea, like helping like injured sailors and stuff. So he's got that mischievous streak in him still. He's still a little bit playful, but he's not nearly as like Yule lad. Like,
what does this guy look like? Because
like a young boy,
Brian Wilson.
Elf-like qualities. Yeah. Yes, a young Brian Wilson.
Every search I've done of this, it looks like a seal. man with four legs.
I mean, there are animalistic depictions.
Literally, the Iceland stamp has an image of him, and he looks like a seal man, like a little seal. Like, yeah, this image right here is, I don't know when this was made or who made this, but this is how I this is my official canonical. This is the Alex Fasciani version.
Is this the same?
So this also, but here's the thing, like, you're seeing that there's a lot of look like a seal, but are also depictions of him. There are also depictions of him as an otter and other little weasel-like creatures.
Yeah, he can, like a little rat guy. Because
he can move through animal-like shapes like fucking everything else can in these stories.
Well, basically. I love him. He looks awesome.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him. I think he's a my cool dog, creature. I like him a lot.
This is what he looks like.
Yeah. His like sheep-like look can have a, like a dog-like look to it, too. But I would hang out with this guy, for sure.
100. Those beautiful harmonies.
Much nicer. Okay, we got two more creatures, boys. Are you ready?
I'm more than ready.
Next up, Utberthr. It's one of the more here. I use like the translation program for this thing.
Utberthr.
That's how it's spelled. There you go.
Utberthr.
Right, but what is it?
This is the term translates to that which is taken outside, referring to the practice of infanticide by exposure, which was tragically not uncommon in the harsh conditions back then. And the Utberthr is a restless spirit or ghost of an infant who is left to die in the wilderness, often due to the poverty or shame of societal pressures.
This is some Witcher shit right now.
It's dark shit, yeah. These spirits are said to haunt the places where they perished, emitting eerie cries or taking on like even more grotesque forms to terrorize those who encounter them. The cry part reminds me of Death Stranding a little bit, BTs, you know, when you see the that very much reminds me of it. And honestly, Death Stranding is very Icelandic landscape, interestingly enough. Yeah, these are basically just the sad spirits of infants who are just left out into the cold to die. That's really what they are. A void for me. I don't think they're old enough to drink. So
I'm drinking with them. F it. These guys need a drink.
Yeah, you know what?
They've had a rough afterlife. You know what? I'm just... Guys, come on. Let's go. It's on me. Round's on me.
That's a very Hellboy play. I'll take that.
Yeah, I like it.
That's what Hellboy would do.
There's next up is the Merman.
Easy.
Which is pretty straightforward sounding, except it's more like the beast version of a merman. The merman, known in Icelandic as Marbindum.
Fish head, human legs.
Very close to that, yeah. Is a significant figure in Icelandic maritime folklore, and unlike the romanticized mermaids of other cultures, the merman here is
gross motherfucker.
He's kind of a grosser motherfucker, damn right. Because he's a upper body of a man, lower body of a fish, sometimes with additional aquatic features like fins, scales, gills. And it's believed that these things dwell in the depths of the ocean, but occasionally will swim upward to interact with fishermen. They possess apparently the deep knowledge of the sea. They even can see future events and they know where hidden treasures of the sea are. They can, like many other things, shapeshift into marine life to appear fully human. And it has the ability, like a lot of these things, to calm the storms or stir up the sea. And they can communicate telepathically or through haunting songs, very similar to sirens, that influence human emotions. Very specifically, it seems to be about influencing emotions and not necessarily drawing them deeper into the waters, which I feel like is an analog of just being out at sea for a long time. And like, I imagine losing your fucking mind just because you're just surrounded by water and just like the same people for months at a time. In folklore, though, this is often the merman is often captured accidentally in fishing nets. If treated kindly, he offers valuable information, warning about impending storms, or guidance to abundant fishing grounds. However, if he's mistreated when he's caught, he can curse the fishermen or bring misfortune upon them. Some stories even portray him as a guardian of the sea, ensuring humans do not overexploit marine resources, very similar to the salmon mother or halibut mother. Others depict him as a solitary figure embodying the mysteries and allure of the ocean depths, equally in its mystery and in its danger. So that's the merman. He's an interesting dude that I feel like if you treated him, if you had a beer with him, he'd probably see that as treating him well. You accidentally scoop him up in the fishing net and you're like, yo, sorry about that, homie. Beer?
Hey, yo, about that one time when I was really drunk and I had to pee in the ocean. I'm so sorry about that. I hope you weren't around for that.
It's all right. We all pee in the ocean.
Oh, merman, thanks.
Where do you think I go? Everybody pees in the ocean, bro.
Cheers, merman. Yeah. Bottoms up. This bud's for you, Merman.
This bud's for you.
This unsweetened giant size Popeye's iced tea is for you, Merman.
This is the Vatnagida. This thing means water pike and is a legendary creature believed to inhabit the freshwater lakes and rivers of Iceland. It's described as nothing more than a monstrous pike. If you look at pictures of this thing, it's basically a mythically a pike? Humongous pike.
Like
fish.
Like the fish?
Oh, yeah, it's okay, already yeah. huge. Yes, like the fish. This thing is feared by fishermen and those living near these bodies of water. It's often depicted with razor sharp teeth, glowing eyes, and a voracious appetite that's capable of devouring livestock, pets, and even humans who venture too close to the water. And the creature is sometimes blamed for unexplained drownings or the disappearances of pets or animals they were taken care of. Basically, this thing is it's really quick. Yeah, it moves really quick. It moves really quietly, and it's just giant. And it has some amphibious abilities, because in some of the stories that I read, this thing was able to survive on land for short periods, extending its threat past the lake, like chasing people, like fishermen up off the shores out of the lake before turning around and going back. And apparently it also has the ability to regenerate from its heals very quickly. Like, it just heals itself very quick.
Hold the
Yeah.
Well, devious evil Jesse has an idea. And it's the kind of idea that would turn this poor fish into some sort of like super villain.
Forever food, dude. Right?
Look, in my mind, my evil corporation, we kidnap this guy, yep, and we keep him in the water and we cut pieces off to sell, but then we let it grow back and we cut off more pieces to sell. I'd be a very evil man.
Wolverine's done that to survive.
Yeah, man.
I mean, fair, yeah, true, right? Like
Deadpool's done that to survive. Yeah.
It would stop world hunger.
I wouldn't do it to survive. I'd do it like just because it's awesome to do.
Truss up this beautiful world serpent fish like a fucking factory farmed sow. slice meat off of it for all time. We're the baddies, bro. Oh,
100%. We're the villains here in this story.
Humanity is fucked. You think we're just all screwed?
That's a Doctor Who episode. Like,
this is
right
our
there.
First. Yeah. And there have been times people have taken pictures of like big sea creatures claiming it was it. But a lot of the times they end up just being like the Greenland shark, which they just mistake for what this thing is.
That thing. Well, to be fair, that thing is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's cool shit. The Greenland shark alone is cool. Now, this is not all of the Icelandic cryptids, boys, but this is a very big taste of them. The rest are still very fish inspired. Yeah, I there's a lot of these that you would eat.
I'd eat that fish. That big old fish. I'd eat that big boy.
Delicious. Goddamn. But I feel like we would piss off the salmon and halibut.
No way. Salmon queen mothers. And a salmon mother, we're fine. Halibut, eaten.
But if we start doing this to the pike, I feel like they might be mad.
They got qualms with the pikes. They
oh, no. In this salmons. Scenario, the yeah. pike, I'm an evil executive, and I am making money at Pike Corps. And Pike Corp, we just kidnap this pike, put it in water, and we feed the world off of it. And everyone thinks we're good, but really, we're secretly evil.
Merman's going to take you out. Merman and Shore Letty, his sidekick, are going to come take you out.
As long as I can at some point during the thing be like, guards, more guards, then I'll be fine.
No one will get my prize fish. No one.
You'll never defeat me, sure, laddie.
My golden calf fish.
If we are the corporate CEO villain in the story, you think we could like clone the pike and create like genetically engineered pike soldiers?
It has to be despicable, not like futuristic weird.
Okay.
We're literally just cutting pieces off the same pike and it regrows.
Yeah, this is like Ferngully shit. We're Mondo Burger.
Oh,
we're
I get good. Like a cool song. Yeah. That I'm like, I love fish.
So that 50 years into our corporation, some like low-level entry employee feels bad for the pike, and his hero story begins
and that's Free Willy.
You're right.
Fuck. But it's a pike, so when that dude frees him, that pike's eating his ass.
And yeah, it's ugly as shit compared to like a whale. All right, boys, that's where we close the chapter, or the book, rather, on Icelandic cryptids. Hope you guys enjoyed. We're off to go do a mini-sode over at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We've done a lot of countries, a lot of different creatures, and I really, Iceland's probably one of my favorites. I just enjoy the fish theme that ran through all of it. except for the ewe lads.
Delicious. And get ready for another creature feature next week. No spoilers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot, and then I remembered.
Okay.
All right. We're off to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod to go to a minisode. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. We will see you next week. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.